Before we get to the NFL preview, we have to talk about this Mets game, and the NFC East preview will be coming up shortly, but I got to talk about the Mets game today. This is the most... And by the way, folks, before we get into it, welcome to the Mets News Podcast. We have the NFC's preview today, long requested. This is the most frustrating game of the season. Frustrating series of the season. I don't want to hear about Atlanta. Atlanta's a good team. How in the hell are the New York Mets losing a game, losing a series, because they're not coming back today, to the Washington Nationals? And I get it. If like, let's just say the bullpen struggled. No, the bullpen, it's not their fault. They haven't been hitting. They did not hit this whole homestand. And granted, it'll be a winning homestand. But how in the hell are we losing a series to the Washington Nationals? And it's not even competitive. We've been facing pitchers that have like 8 ERAs and we've only mustered 2 runs? This is the most frustrating series of the year. There's been no heart this series. There's really been no heart this whole homestand. They got bailed out because Brandon Nimmo made a great catch in the Dodgers series. And the Dodgers whiffed away. I don't want to hear it, but the Dodgers whiffed away a game. They did. There's no debate in my mind. And there's no debate, even if you talk to Evan Roberts, Beningo, anybody, my draft expert who's a diehard Philly fan, they would say the same thing. Brandon Nimmo basically won us that series with that catch. And the defense of the Dodgers. They've been getting shut down from guys like Jake Reed, who used to play for the Mets. He got a save against us. Fetty, who has a... Patrick Corbin. I mean, the defense has been atrocious. Last night in the ninth inning, Darren Ruff. Darren Ruff has been one of the worst trades I've ever seen. Darren Ruff stinks. This guy absolutely stinks. And another thing that's bothering me. Can Buck Showalter, I don't know, I don't want to say show some heart, but could he get ejected to maybe fire up this team? We've seen Brian Snicker do it. We've seen Aaron Boone do it. I mean, in the seventh inning, there's just all this mess. The Nationals drop a pop-up. The umpire signals out. But then he immediately says, you know what? No. He didn't catch the ball, so now it's a fair ball, and then the Nationals got an easy double play. I know the Mets did nothing wrong, and you really can't... The one thing I won't blame the Mets for this weekend is that play. The umpire effed it up. But could Buck Showalter get ejected? Could he get ejected? Could he show some heart? Could he maybe fire up the team? And Buck, he's done a great job this year. But my one complaint is, when's he going to get ejected? Today, it's just like, come on. Your team has been, let's be honest here, they played down to the competition. And Buck's just sitting there like, and your bullpen management has been terrible lately. Let's just be honest. It's been terrible. The fact that Carrasco didn't go out for a rehab start is a disgrace. Carlos Carrasco should have went out for a rehab start. And another thing, Billy Epler, what are you doing? You stink. I got to hear on Mets Twitter, oh, Billy Epler, he's done a fine job. Fire Epler. Let's just be honest. He made no signings this offseason that Let me rephrase that. As Voit lines out sharply to right fielder Marte. Starling Marte, Scherzer, he signed the big guys, but he did nothing after that. And the deadline, where the Mets needed some help, he did nothing. He stunk. I don't know. This is the most frustrating I've been. And listen, the Mets played down to their competition. They go to the Pirates at PNC Park. And let's just hope the Mets sweep. And that's all I got. This has been a quick instant reaction to the New York Mets losing a series, most likely to the Washington Nationals. I'm going to go edit. I'm going to finish the editing of my podcast, and that'll be up shortly. But you guys will never know that. So let's hear from the sponsor, Anchor. And that's it. And let's just hope the Mets can turn this thing around. All right, everybody. Welcome to the Mets News Podcast. It's the beautiful time of the year where I do my NFL previews. We got the draft expert back. And now, for the first time in almost 2 years, Coach Weber's back on. So we got the Dallas Cowboys fan. We have the Giant fan. Don't want to be the Giant fan right now. And we have the Eagle fan. So let's just get right into it. How you guys doing?
The best times of the year. That and, when spring rolls around.
I'm hanging in there. Not as excited as the Eagles fan, but.
The Eagles fans are always excited. And then it just all goes, downhill after that. This is our time. We're in first place right now. So we're happy now.
I guess we should just look terrible
in week one against the Lions, and then you'll hear about how they have too easy of a summer practice and they don't hit enough. Then you'll hear that the Eagles fans come out.
I mean, at least I heard the Phillies last night blew a 7-1.
No, don't even talk about that. Don't.
Hey, I got some. Hey, the Mets are in first place right now.
Hold on. Major League Baseball is still going on?
Yeah, that's right, Coach. You played the Phillies the past 2 weeks, and it wasn't pretty.
I thought that stopped in April.
Yeah. I've been there before.
Yeah. We all have been there before.
But I don't know what the Reds' direction is, but we got to stick to football or my audience will get upset. All right, let's get into the NFC East. We're going to start with the Eagles because I think they're winning the division. The last time the draft expert was on, I said this was Philly's division to lose. So let's get right into it.
Which made me feel very uneasy that was coming from you, I must admit.
You did
I
say that.
I had to change my predictions off of that.
All right, so let's start. So how do you think their offseason went? We didn't really touch into it that much.
Well, if you can get a Super Bowl championship by an offseason, the Eagles are the Super Bowl champions.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, that's not the case. I do think on paper, they're drastically improved. And I do think on paper, position by position, you'll say the Eagles probably are the best team because of injuries from other teams. But there's always that black cloud hanging over Jalen Hurts. It's all going to come. They got him the weapons they need. They have the offensive line. It all comes down to Jalen Hurts. Does he take the next step?
I agree with you. I think it's either put up or shut up time for him. I mean, this is how I think it's going to go for him. He's either going to have a really good year and say, this is my job, or he's going to have a bad year, the Eagles won't make the playoffs, and you guys will just draft another quarterback. And this quarterback class is much better this year compared to last year.
That seems like the plan with how they work the draft. They have some extra draft picks, but just a little extra step forward with him. Now with A.J. Brown, Goddard's your main tight end, with Devontae Smith in his second year. I mean, they finally have the weapons for him. There's no excuse for him anymore.
Mm-hmm. I think it's his arm, really. He's very fast. We all know that. It's his arm for me. And I mean,
arm. And when you have an arm like that, like Drew Brees didn't have a strong arm, but mm-hmm. he would anticipate. Like, he'd throw his receivers open. He didn't wait for them to get open. He didn't have the arm to wait for them to get open. And that's what Jalen has to do. And maybe now with somebody like A.J. Brown, who you just throw it up to him, he has to just trust him. He has some receivers out there and got it that he should be able to trust.
Mm-hmm. Any questions on the coaching staff?
We'll wait and see about that.
Well, how did you think the coaches did last year?
We'll see what Jonathan Gannon does on defense. They are switching over. You can see with their draft, they're not going to be running a traditional 4-3. They're going to be having different fronts. We'll see what he does. He finally has some linebackers to work with, too.
What did you say that surprised you that the Eagles kept 7 positions in the defense? I forget. Right before we started?
They kept 7. Let me look here again. It was the linebackers, but then again, it doesn't surprise me because in a 3-4, some of them are more like edge rushers than anything. They kept 8 linebackers.
That's a lot. And I mean, you guys did make an addition from the Giants, which I really think that'll be good for you guys, James Bradberry.
That's going to be good for a year.
Yeah, I mean, he's only signed for a year, right?
He's on a lot. I think he's on – yeah, they signed him to a 1-year cheap deal. Well, cheap, relatively speaking. But, yeah, it's a 1-year deal because him and Slay are older. Next year, if they don't have to draft a quarterback, they have 2 first-round picks. They can start adding some young DBs. They traded for a safety today.
Mm-hmm. I guess for me it's just really the quarterback. He's the biggest question mark because I said he has potential, and you said it too last year, but he does make a lot of decisions that are questionable, to say the least.
Maybe he didn't trust his – I guess I wouldn't trust Jalen Reagor either out there. But he just looked to take off right away.
He did.
He didn't trust his receivers. So maybe he'll do that more now. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. So – I don't know the Eagles' schedule off the top of my head. We did this last year, and the audience seemed to like it. How do we think the Eagles are going to do?
All right, let me bring up – I know the key is they can't start like they did last year.
Mm-hmm.
This year, their schedule, they have a fairly – they start with the Lions.
Mm-hmm.
Then their home opener is against the Vikings.
Another tough one.
Yeah. And then they play the Carson Wentz Commanders.
Really? That's really getting heated now.
Yep. Then the Jaguars. The Doug Peterson Super Bowl champion coach.
Jaguars. Yep.
Yeah. So their first 4, they need to be 3-1. You can have a slip up in there because then they have to go to Arizona. They have Dallas, the Steelers. You know, then they have the Texans and Commanders again. But then the Colts, Packers, Titans. You know, so the schedule is set up well for them.
Yeah, and you end the season against the Giants. We go to Philadelphia. Sad, that should be a win for you guys. I mean, in Philadelphia.
I'm not commenting.
You're not jinxing it. Last time you were on, you said the Giants will never win in Philadelphia.
I don't think I ever said that.
Yes, you said it's been like 12 years.
I think you brought that stat up, and I had to agree with it.
So, I never think, and I agree with you last time, and I'll agree with you this time, and all the Giant fans will agree with you too.
Whoa, sorry.
Yeah, I never thought the Giants. I never think the Giants are going to win in Philly. Too many bad memories. Just in 2020, I'm still waiting for that milkshake. By the way,
don't worry, we'll get it. But remember, it's not just in Philly. We have some things called the Miracle in the Meadowlands.
Yeah.
1 and 2. Mm-hmm. So.
I mean, yeah, the Giants, I don't want to go to them yet. We're going to save them for last because they're going to be 4th place. Let's go to the Cowboys, unless there's anything else you want to say on the Eagles.
Every team. Health is a big thing. Mm-hmm. And then the Eagles, their quarterback play. Because everything else – their receivers are better than last year. They have good offensive line depth, defensive line depth. They have more linebackers than they had. Their secondary with Slay, Bradberry, Chauncey Gardner from the Saints they got, they're better all around.
I'm gonna say this. This is a win now team. It's well, not rebuilding
obviously
anymore.
He's trying to do that now mm-hmm. by with the trade again today, getting themselves a safety.
Based on that schedule, I would what try to win too.
Yeah, exactly.
You're gonna be 4-0 before you play anybody.
We'll have a slip up. There's no way.
Maybe Minnesota, but that's iffy.
I got to agree with you on that. I could see the Commanders maybe being that slip up because it's Carson Wentz and maybe he has a chip on his shoulder.
No.
It's in Washington, luckily. If it was in Philly that first one, oh, man.
My dream and the audience's dream is to get a camera down in the basement just to get, like, your live reactions. I would do the editing. I think it would be hilarious.
There should be a webcam, a live
webcam. You don't want to see it. It gets ugly at times.
I don't need to hear it. I just need to see it.
Well, it's not so well. You need to hear it. It's more hearing than seeing.
I was going
to
say.
My wife upstairs, she watches the game upstairs. She doesn't have to watch it. She knows what's happening.
I've seen pictures of you in the newspaper yelling at umpires.
Yeah. No, it doesn't look anything like that. There's no hands in the air. It's the hands punching pillows, punching the sofa, throwing pillows.
I think my audience and I think the world would pay money to see that. I think you would go viral.
Well, luckily I don't do like social media stuff or any TikToks because that would light up some of the – I would make a TikTok of some of those.
I don't do TikTok either. So you're talking in a foreign language here.
Yeah, me too. I have no idea.
Me neither. And all right, let's get to the Cowboys. I honestly don't know what to think of the Cowboys. And, Coach Werner, we'll start with you because this is your team.
Yeah.
I think the window is closed.
Closed?
Are getting close to being closed. I think there's a lot of aging players on this team.
No, they're actually a young team. They're mm-hmm. a young team. They're not an old team. I mean, if there's any window that you worry about, it's the Prescott window. But
they're
actually did the complete opposite of what the Eagles did. They got rid of players. Mm-hmm. They purposely didn't go out for free agents. They tried to, you know, draft and build as they draft and develop, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
The complete opposite, which is frustrating as a Cowboys fan when you feel like you were pretty close last year of competing, to see them make questionable decisions and in areas that they historically have been weak. They let some depth go, and now right away injuries have hit those spots already. So now they're already starting the season razor thin depth-wise on offense.
Mm-hmm.
Defense, I think they're going to be really good. I think that could be – it could be a shifting of the guard where now it's back to the Dallas Cowboys where the defense was the bread and butter, not the offense. But that was when the Cowboys were really at their best in the doomsday era, and also in the 90s, their defenses were their best. Then they tried the offensive side of things, trying to put up lots of numbers, and they couldn't do it. So or they did, they weren't successful doing it consistently. So maybe that's why they're shifting over, but definitely razor thin on some areas that are hugely important.
Yeah, the offensive line is going to be the question mark.
Yeah. I mean, they are going to start at left tackle, a guy who was not going to win the right – I'm sorry, left tackle, the guy who was not going to win the left guard competition. So he was going to get beat out by McGovern and Tyler Smith. And now when Tyron Smith gets hurt, they're going to put him out there. So – it doesn't make you feel comfortable. If he couldn't win the guard spot, how is he going to go out where the big boys are rushing the quarterback?
Yeah, and he was one of the guys in the country that led the league in penalties.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that fits. I mean, that we needed guys. We got rid of some guys that had a lot of penalties, so they drafted a guy that has a lot of penalties.
I remember him with the draft. He has, like, when you just look at the physical tools and you – get a picture of what you want your offensive lineman to be like. I mean, he fits that. He fits the mold. But coming from, was it Tulane? Was it Toledo? Or Tulane? Toledo. You know, playing against that competition and then being thrust to left tackle all of a sudden, that's
– Right. And
it could be a big boom or bust. I mean, he could end up being you know, worked with, remember in the day you had Eric Williams came from a smaller school, and Allen, I mean, they ended up being like phenomenal.
I think if long term he'll be fine, and I think they had the right approach of not rushing him, but the wrong approach was trusting Tyron Smith to stay healthy. Love the guy when he's healthy. He's just never healthy. I mean, he's just never healthy. So it was a gamble, and I think they lost on that gamble, and they're going to pay for it. And it hurts the offense because they're thin at wide receiver. They lost James Washington, who was one of the guys they signed. He's hurt. Now the tight ends were going to have to help in pass blocking, so that's going to hurt Dalton Schultz. So offense could be struggling early on. They're going to have to rely on a defense, which is so not the Cowboys for a long time.
Yeah, and the biggest area for me that with the Cowboys, I mean, what about the coaching? I mean, I think Mike McCarthy, I thought he was going to get fired last year. I was shocked when he was brought back. I don't know about you. Actually, I want to get your thoughts on that because I don't have a lot of Dallas Cowboy fans on, and my audience was complaining about that.
Well, here's the thing. I think McCarthy does a good job. I thought he was in a lot of trouble when Sean Payton became available because Jerry Jones always regrets letting Sean Payton go out the door. He was there before he went to New Orleans. That's the thing that could be a problem if they start off slow. If the offense is the problem, that'll kind of put Kellen Moore under the hot seat, which I think is deservedly so. And then it's just a matter of how long Jerry stays with it. Now, they do have Dan Quinn on the defensive side, and they were able to keep him. Who knows what Jerry promised him to keep him. So I think it's okay as long as they compete. But with Sean Payton is the threat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just a shame the Cowboys can't fire their GM. That would be nice.
Jerry Jones?
Yeah.
And the importance of the Eagles getting off to a hot start, the Cowboys reverse start off the schedule. I mean, they're at home, but I mean, they have the Bucs to open.
And the Bengals. And
it's like the Bengals and then the Giants, Commanders, but then they have to play the Rams and then they have to go to Philly.
Yeah. Yeah. So
the first six games, I mean, you could be 2-4, 3-3, maybe 4-2. So that's why the Eagles have to take advantage early on.
I think the frustrating thing for them is the areas where they're now really vulnerable. And I heard Jerry Jones talking this morning. He was saying how they lost Lyle Collins and they lost Amari Cooper. They didn't lose them. They got rid of them. Mm-hmm. He got rid of them. You know, it wasn't like they were free agents. They couldn't figure out a money situation and he lost them to a higher offer. He went out and purposely got rid of them. Lyle for availability issues. And Amari Cooper because he doesn't love the game enough. So, but now they need, those are the two spots. It sure would be nice to move Lyle Collins over to left tackle and to have Amari Cooper to, you know, pick up until Gallup and Washington get back, but they don't have them. And that was a GM decision.
Now, were you upset with those moves in the offseason before these injuries happened or?
I was upset with what they got for Amari Cooper, but I understand they were trading away the contract. And at the time, I wasn't that upset because I figured he was going to spend the money, you know, and they didn't really go out and spend the money outside of potentially realizing that they have some contracts that they have to pay coming up. So they're thinking about guys that they're going to have to take care of, which is not fun for a fan. Like, we don't really care about, I would much rather be an Eagles fan today where they pick up a starting safety versus a Cowboys fan where you're thinking, hey, 2 years from now, we're going to be able to sign this guy for an extension. That's,
I agree with exciting. You 100%.
Not exciting.
I agree with you 100% about that, especially in the Giants situation where we were promised for 2 years, and we'll get to the Giants in a minute. We were promised for a couple of years, I'll wait till Jones develops. And then they spent the money in the wrong spot. And now we have to restart this process again. But all right, what do you think Dallas's record is going to be? We don't have to go game by game, just an overall prediction.
You know, the 11-6 area. I do think I do think the Eagles are on like the draft expert explained, on paper, they're talented. As a Cowboys fan, you got to hope that the coaching staff quite isn't as seasoned as they need to be. That's the hope with the Eagles, is that they're a little raw yet with the coaching staff, and that these veteran coaches might be able to handle them. But, you know, somewhere in there, and like, health does make a huge, huge, you know, you lose a Dak Prescott and it's all over. Actually, he's the only quarterback on the roster as of right now.
Eagles only have two as well.
Well, they don't have any. They have one.
That's terrible.
Well, they're playing the game where if you have veterans that are old enough, they don't have to go through waivers. So they just kind of say, hey, we're going to cut you and then we'll pick you up in 2 days after we put Tyron Smith on the injured list. You know, that's what they're doing. But, you know, it's so... If let's assume every team stays healthy, I think that's where they're going to be, and they're going to be neck and neck with the Eagles. Probably come to down to late in the year and see who's got it. If the young guys develop for Dallas, or if this coaching staff and Jalen Hurts develop, then it'll be the Eagles.
Mm-hmm. And I guess your thoughts on Dak and Zeke at this point? I'm not really concerned about Dak as much. I would be in a couple years. But Zeke's the one where it's like, yeah, he's kind of transitioning now.
Zeke, I think, you know, he's a little bit beat up. He's mm-hmm. been healthy the last 2 years starting the season. Last year he had a tear in the knee that he played with. I know people really, really want the Cowboys to play Pollard more. I don't think people realize the difference in the pass protection that Zeke gives you. He's like another guard out there at times. And last year, where you have Prescott coming back from the major injury, they were not going to risk Pollard out there. And you might say, well, they know the running plays the pass plays. Not in today's NFL. You go up to the line of scrimmage and a run call could be a pass play in a second. So I think that's where they trust Elliott. From what I understand, he's very unique in that he attends all quarterback meetings. So he understands all the protection. Like he really, truly understands the protections as a quarterback. It's one of his strengths. He is a protector of Dak. So he gets hit for his yardage, but I think that's why he plays, is because they trust him more than Pollard. Pollard has the home run hitter, mm-hmm. but I don't think people realize that, you know, the pass pro is such a big thing. So, now you don't pay a running back for that, but in the offenses today, it has to be an aspect of it. You've got to be able to do it. If he stays healthy, I think he'll put up good numbers. I know they're going to try to run the ball. That was a big emphasis, is that they feel like they gave up running the ball. That makes complete sense if you think about, if you want your defense to be the star, you have to control the ball more. You have to, you know, control time. You know, we'll see if this line can actually block people.
So it's really the offensive line, like these players, but the offensive line's the key from what I'm gauging.
I told you that for years, Benny, when they got Daniel and you drafted Barkley. I'm like, mistake. Running backs, yeah, there's some special ones, but I don't care who you are. If you don't have an offensive line, with how athletic these you know, it's – there's such a fine – behind margin. You need an offensive line.
Or you need to have a really, really, really good offensive coach that can cover those things up, which are few and far between coaches like that.
I could tell you, and I think Coach Weber could agree, Jason Garrett was not that guy. Maybe he was with you guys in the beginning, but he was never that with the Giants. I will say that 100%.
No, you're right. He very conservative, old school type play caller. The only thing he did well was beat the Eagles in Philly. That's what he did all the time.
I wish I knew what that was like. I don't know what that's like. I know what it's like to blow leads in Philly, like with 20 seconds.
Evan Ingram could catch.
Yes.
He would have won.
Yes.
If Evan Ingram could catch, I think Joe Judge would be the coach right now, still be the Giants coach.
Oh, darn it. Now I wish he would have caught it.
I was talking with somebody. a couple days ago in one of my sports management classes. I said, if Evan Engram catches that ball, the Giants make the playoffs. You think that John Mara, because he loved Joe Judge. He did. He even admitted it. You think John Mara is going to fire him? And he's like, I don't know. And I said, no, he's not going to fire him. He's just going to fire Jason Garrett and say, we're going to give this one more year. So ultimately, him not catching that ball in the long run did the Giants good.
I mean, I know you didn't have your backup quarterback for the worst in the league, worst I ever saw. But so running quarterback sneaks from your own, like, 5-10-yard line there didn't look too good either.
Oh, that wasn't Garrett. As much as I would love to blame that on Garrett, that was Joe Judge. I was livid last year when that happened. Michael Strahan just, when they did the halftime report, was just how I was feeling at that time. He was just disgusted.
I mean, and again, I know your quarterbacks were terrible, but those 2-yard outs that you would run all the time.
I think so Jake Fromm, that's all he could throw.
You could run.
I'll never forget. I was like, all right, let's just give Jake Fromm a shot. I knew it wasn't going to be pretty. I texted you that. His first throw in Philly it was one of his first throws. It was an interception. And I was like, oh, my God, this guy's arm is like the worst arm I've ever seen in my life.
Well, it wasn't the worst throw ever. Daniel Jones' throw to the defensive tackle laying on the ground was my favorite.
Oh, God, don't even – that one – that's when I was ready to quit on Daniel Jones. And then he beat Philly because – an offensive lineman caught a touchdown in between his legs.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I was like, well, you know, give him the rest of the season. And then it came out that he had a broken
almost
neck.
Almost as bad as the helmet catch.
I'll take that helmet catch every day of the week. I mean, it's a championship.
Yeah, I know.
And, I mean, Giants aren't going to be in that for at least 3 more years. Do we want to touch on Washington? I know we don't have anyone, like, we don't have to like go in depth like we would with the Giants in a few minutes here, but what do we think Washington's going to be?
I will say this. Last year at this time, I was nervous about Washington because of the pass rushers that they were accruing and everything. And respect for Ron Rivera at the time. But they've kind of slid down now, like in my mind. I mean, certainly the quarterback play is an issue. But the defense got some injuries and they lost some guys. So to me, this is a dangerous kind of feeling, is that they've lost a little bit of their momentum that they were kind of building there a little bit now. They had a lot of messes going on outside of the sport, right, that just sidetracked the whole organization. But I'm talking just on the field product type. This time last year, I was nervous about them because I just thought they were going to have a defense that was going to be really, really tough to handle.
And they had Ryan Fitzpatrick, who became a veteran, who
magic.
You know, maybe help like solidify a little bit. Nothing spectacular, but that defense, you didn't need somebody to come in and light it up. And I thought he would be good enough to.
Yep.
Do it, but then he got hurt.
Yeah. Now they have a running back that they beats out the guy. He gets shot a couple times. It's just they can't buy a break. I just don't see them putting it all together, at least early on. Maybe late, you know, a momentum, middle of the year type momentum shift, and they do it. But not high on my worry list.
Yeah, I agree. And what do we think Carson Wentz is going to be? Just
the same Carson, like he'll show flashes, he'll have his moments, but then he'll have those. If things start going south there, well, I don't know.
I think he burned last year with Frank Reich. When you lose Frank Reich as his support, considering the relationship that they had, that's a big red flag that Frank gave up on him. So I don't know. I see it more as still a downward spiral, and we won't be talking about him in 2-3 years at all.
I agree. All right, let's get on to it. The beautiful Giants, the mess. And it's not, let me just say this. The new regime has made moves that I like. I think they had a very good draft, just like a lot of people did. this year is just going to be a very painful year to watch. I don't see it. I did say this. I could see the Giants either being really good or really bad. I think they're going to be really bad, but maybe Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley and those new offensive line pieces, maybe they all play up to their potential, but those are big ifs. The defense, it's really, really, their secondary is really bad. I know they had to release Bradberry because of the cap hit. I wasn't a fan of it. I would have kept him and released Slayton, especially when it comes out now that the Giants are either going to release Slayton or trade him. At that point, why didn't you just package him and another player and keep Bradberry just to be better and maybe trade Bradberry during the season? I just think it's going to be a very tough, long year. So it is what it is now for 6 years for a Giant fan.
I think you almost have to almost start to turn the page now and see what direction you want to go. Like we said, how the Eagles are all in now because they had some pieces in place. They needed a few more. They went out and did that. You're not that person that go out and get a free agent, one or two, and be there. I think you have to start with a new coaching staff. With Daniel Jones, now they didn't exercise the option,
which was the right call. I agree with that 100%.
How many first round picks you got next year?
I don't know. Not as much as we did this year.
You've made some trades, so you might have some extra ones too. You had some extra this year, I think.
Yeah, we made that great trade. The one move that Dave Gettleman made that I think he will deserves credit for is that trade last year, because we've got to shore up two positions that. Even though the guy we drafted, he could be hit or miss. I heard from what I've heard, it really just depends. But I still think that was the draft was really good. On paper, it was a really good draft. That's all I'm going to say. And the Giants' schedule, looking at it, it's not that difficult. I mean, they're going to lose in Tennessee, but they play teams like Seattle. Let me get the schedule up. I know they go to London this year. We play Chicago, the Bears, the Jaguars, the Texans, the Lions. Those are all teams we should beat on paper, but I mean, we're either right on their level or we're below them. But you don't know what can happen in the regular season.
I think you should hope that they don't try to go for those short-term wins, and they should keep the long-term plan in view.
And I think that's what they're doing.
I think that's the approach they should take, because you run that schedule like you talked about, you could start getting excited about, we could get in the playoffs, and you might overlook the opportunity to turn over a little bit more of the roster, to get more assets, to really build this the right way going forward.
Well, I'll say this. Barkley will be traded this year. I think they should trade him at the deadline. They should not do what they did last year with Evan Ingram. I thought that was the stupidest move. Why wouldn't you trade Evan Ingram? Like, you could have gotten a better draft pick for him. It's the same thing with Barkley. I think Barkley is either going to have a year where he is going to play for the money, so he'll be motivated, so he'll have a really good year, or it'll just come crashing down. And he'll be out of the league in a couple of years.
Well, that's the thing. He's on the last year. So you trade him. You have to have a team. If the team's going to give up something for him, you know, then you're going to have to pay him or you're going to lose him. So you're going to trade for somebody that might be, you know, pretty gap for a couple of weeks, and then he's gone. So that kind of makes it a little bit difficult to move.
I didn't understand why we kept him this offseason to begin with. I think that was another John Mara call. And John Mara's not – I'm just going to call it as I see it. He's just not a very good owner.
Because he was a first-round pick. If you release him, you get a giant cap hit. Like the Eagles with Jalen Reagor, their run receiver, he has no right to be on the team anymore. But if they cut him, he saves them money by keeping him. If they cut him, I think Eagles would have had $6 million dead money on the cap this year.
That's why I would trade him.
Play a role in it too.
I think his value was too low. You know, Saquon's value is too low. At least all of us in this area kind of know what he's done locally and know what he's done in college, and you kind of project that in the pros. So I think all of us can kind of see that philosophy. Let's let him, but you know, like you said, if his contract's up, you'd have to find a place that maybe could work on a deal with him that they, you know, they trade for him and immediately extend him. Yeah, it's a tough spot. It's a tough spot. I don't think his value was very high in the offseason for trading, and releasing was not an option.
Yeah, but I agree with you guys. Releasing him was not an option. And I guess going to Daniel Jones, another guy that's on his last year, I feel bad for the kid. Because I'll say this. In 2019, he had a lot of potential. They just never properly built around him. They, as the owner said, we screwed that kid over. Like, he said that when the general manager came in. Like, we did everything in our power, he said, to make sure he would not be successful. And I'm not – Daniel Jones has a lot of flaws, but still, it's like – it's there with him. He has games, and I know this because I watch him, where you think, oh, this guy has it. He knows how to win that terrible game. Like, and just – like, he knows how to win a game where he's perfect, and then he has those games against Tampa last year where it's just like, oh, my God, how does this guy even in the league still? But
– yeah, I know. The Eagles fan, but that's the difference now. With Jalen Hurts, Eagles went out in last year, drafted Landon Dickerson for the line. They drafted a replacement for Kelsey on the line, Cam Jurgens. You already have your two bookend tackles. So they went out and got him, the playmaking wide receiver. They're putting him in a position to be successful. Now it's up to him. Daniel Jones, your offensive line has been putrid. When you gave Nate Solder that kind of money, that was a head scratcher.
I will say this. Got
him Kenny Golladay.
Oh, I was about to get to him. What a terrible contract that was. And like, this is the thing that bothers me in the NFL. Guys get paid and then they quit. And then they get released. And in some cases, then they get remotivated. Odell Beckham Jr., you could go down the line. Then there are other cases like Le'Veon Bell where they just don't care anymore. I just never, as a coach, that always kills me. And you could see it in the NFL and in every sport too. It's just, oh, my God, he's quit. You could just see it. He on the field, he missed a block. He didn't even try in a blocking assignment against the Jets a couple days ago. Last year, he was dropping balls left and right. I mean, oh, my God, that was a disappointment. I can't even, like, find a way to defend that signing. It's the same thing with Kyle Rudolph, too. It's like, I know we released Kyle Rudolph. Why did we sign him? That was a waste of $10 million, and now we have a cap hit of $5 million. The previous regime was really bad. I think we all can agree on that.
Yes. They struggled. Not as bad as the Raiders, but with the drafting, but they struggled. I want to know, I'm going into my fantasy football draft Friday, and I want to know what Kadarius Toney's going to do.
He's such a hit or miss player for me, and he has the talent to be an Odell Beckham Jr.-esque player. I will say that. That Dallas game last year, the Saints game before that, he had three or four games where it was like, oh, this guy can be good. It's just mental with him. It really is. Like, he missed training camp. In his second year, I've never heard of a second-year player holding out to report to training camp. Like, at that point, I was ready to, like, just cut ties with him. I don't think he wants to be a Giant anymore. And I don't blame him because the Giants drafted his replacement in Robinson. But if he's healthy and motivated, it could be fun to watch. He could be the one bright spot.
Yeah, I remember him coming out. He had some electric plays that were unreal. But when looking at him in the draft, he didn't really fit the classic, like, I'm the X receiver, I'm the Z receiver. He was more of a get him on some speed sweeps, get him out there in space. He was kind of one of those kind of guys. And he did remind me of the guy that, you know, we always call, we hate the high maintenance players. That's what he reminded me of. Mm-hmm. And that was the draft where we traded up in front of Dallas and got the guy you wanted. You wanted Devontae Smith.
It's the Eagles' fault that we were stuck in this situation.
And then you traded back, and you drafted him at like 21, and I was like, oh, boy. I thought it was the same thought I had when we drafted Jalen Reagor. I'm like, oh, boy. It would have been better if he was in the second round. But that first round, I thought that was a little bit of a risk when you took him in the 20s.
Ben's right, though. That Cowboys game, he was the best player on the field.
Yeah, he can be electric.
I think like Tyreek Hill type. I mean, mm-hmm. not quite as fast, but that type of player.
There was a play last year in the Saints game. It was like 3rd and 18. And Jason Garrett threw one of his classic 2-yard plays. And he turned that into a 24-yard gain. And it helped the Giants win the game. I've never seen that before. I saw that with Beckham, but I was like, oh my, this kid, I see it. But then he does mental stuff, and the media kills him, and I think that bothers him, too. The media in New York, just like in Philly, it kills Kadarius Toney when he pulls his shenanigans, like when he tried to fight the whole Dallas Cowboy team, which you remember that.
Yeah.
Like, New York killed him for that.
I'll tell you what, we'll give you Jalen Reagor, because he's great on the 2-yard patterns. Phenomenal. You can have him.
I will say this. I do like Brian Daboll. I think he will get 4 years, meaning this year is kind of a throwaway year. He'll draft his quarterback he wants, and then he'll get 3 years to see what we can do.
I also like Coach Judge, too.
Well, Coach Judge, I liked during the season. I think, again, I wanted Brian Flores, and I think Brian Flores, the fact he's – whatever he's doing with the Steelers is, like, terrible. But, I mean, Brian Daboll was my second choice. I just wanted Flores just because I saw what he did down in Miami. But I understand why Joe Shane wanted to bring in his guy. I mean, they were both from Buffalo.
Yeah.
You kind of knew once Joe Shane got hired, all right, Daboll's coming with them. Or the defensive coordinator. His name's blanking on me right now. But, listen, they're going in the right direction, I think, as a Giant fan. And I've spoken to people from John Boy Media that run the Giants podcast. We just know it's going to be a long year. It's just because the fan base is getting tired. Right now they're saying, oh, yeah, we'll be patient. But in December, when Dallas and Philly are fighting it out, and we have to go to Philadelphia week 18 or on Thanksgiving when Dallas just scores 40 points on us and we lose 40 to 15 because we'll get the 2-point conversion at the end of the game. It'll be rough. During the season, it'll be rough.
Do you think that, going back to Joe Judge, that I have an opinion on this, that he was stuck with Garrett because of the Maras?
Yes. It's came out.
And yes. That's a huge weight that he was inherited there as a head coach when your offensive coordinator is handed to you. And I'll say this.
The first year, I understand. I got, because Joe Judge never worked with offense in his life. So I would be okay with it. And Joe Judge didn't object to it his first year. Like even Joe Judge says I was okay with it. He just wanted Patrick Graham to come with him, and I'm going to miss Patrick Graham, even though the guy we got from the Ravens is supposed to be good too. But the second year, I would have fired Jason Garrett. After the first year, I would have just been like, all right, you're fired. That's what I would have done, and that's what anyone logically would have done too. I mean, that offense, even though they didn't have any weapons, I mean, they didn't score 30 points one game that year, and we had a pretty easy schedule. I don't know what Jason Garrett's doing now. What's he doing now?
He's doing TV. He's on. Oh. He's going to be in the studio, and he does college. I think he does the Notre Dame broadcast now.
Oh, is he going to do this?
You're going to see yet another Dallas Cowboy quarterback making into the broadcast booth.
Is he gonna? I could see now. This is, instead of talking, he's just going to do this the whole time. He's just going to clap.
Yeah, and they would, if they could show him, he would be taking his mic away from his mouth and spitting and then putting it back. That's,
yep.
Well, at least, yeah, Dallas, you have him. I like Aitman. Moose Johnson is one of my favorite commentators. But God, when Tony Romo's on, oh God, I can't take him.
I think Romo doesn't really bother me. But then last year when he said, oh, this will work out for Dallas, when they did that running play, it was like, it's not going to work out. And then you had the announcer say, I don't think this is going to work out. He's like, no, it'll work. And then he said, oh, my goodness. It was like, oh, yeah, you could clearly see he was rooting for Dallas there. You could kind of tell. It was a little more obvious than normal. Yes. That I still don't understand. I don't know why Dak didn't try to get out of bounds.
Well, he went right up the middle. He just had to get down a little sooner.
It brought some joy when the snow was falling down for me. And I know it brought some joy for the draft expert because Philly got beat pretty bad earlier in the day.
Yeah.
Do we want to talk about Brady really quick? Like, what's going on with him?
I'd like to know what's going on with him.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think he wants to play. I think he's getting pulled into all his brand deals, and football is not his top priority anymore.
But you think with a guy, he is such a competitor, though. That just would seem outside his, like, I don't see him as a guy just coming back just because he wants to play until he's whatever. Like, he is so competitive.
Well, I didn't think he wanted to retire to begin with. I think that got leaked into the media during the game, and it was like, all right, well, now I got to retire. I don't think his wife wants him to play anymore either. I think his wife is like, all right, can you stop this now? Like, I don't want to be a single parent anymore. So once that came out, it was like, all right, I'm going to retire. And then he's like, no, I want to come back. And then he takes that hiatus, and now it's like, I don't know what he's going to be. This season, you can't count out Brady. I'm not saying that, but it's like, do you think the offense will have time to
jump? He just has to be ready for week one. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
Just week one.
I think he should take week one off because he had a break in training camp. He should just rest. Start in week two.
Nope. Like the Giants did last year with all their wide receivers. Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe he will take week one off because he doesn't want Micah Parsons to end his career that first week.
That would be nice.
Their offensive line, it's not very – it's good, but it's not, like, good enough.
I think their center is done.
Yeah.
Arians left. You know, like, a lot of things happened there. It's no Gronk, which he relied on a lot. You know, they
had Rudolph replaced him, right?
Yeah. But him and Gronk had that, like, you see the plays, and you can just see them look at each other. And I know they did it to the Cowboys last year where they just, like – made a two-man adjustment and scored a touchdown. What about the conspiracy theories that starting to go to his face, that he had work done on his face? Have you seen any of that?
I didn't see that.
His face does look different, but I really didn't put that much into it till I was watching ESPN today and they brought it up.
Oh, they did? I've seen people say, how come nobody's talking about it? And I looked at it, I go, yeah, it does look like he looks different. And you know, his excuse was, I'm 45. I got a lot of, you know, stuff going on. Who knows?
I think he's going to retire after this year. I think he's getting pulled in too many different directions. I mean, he has his brands. I know he's gotten offered to do TV because Fox sign a deal with him already.
He's got a deal waiting. He's got a deal waiting that he'll be like the highest paid guy, and that's what the whole thing about being a single parent doesn't make much sense, because he's going to turn around and go right. I mean, I know it's not the same, but they're still gone every week in the NFL, and they're traveling to do the pre-games and stuff like that, so he's not like going to be sitting at home.
I just know that's what he said on his podcast when he first retired. He's like, yeah, my wife doesn't want to be a single parent anymore.
Yeah,
I don't know if that was still the case. I'm just let's just get to the Super Bowl predictions. I mean, what do we think? Do we want to talk about any other division? Do we want to talk about Rodgers or anything? I'll let you guys take the floor. Anything you guys want to say?
Boy, man, my last prediction was absolutely brutal.
Yeah.
I think it's open. I mean, everybody's saying Buffalo, you know, is like a sure thing, but I don't see that as a sure thing. I mean, their division isn't great. You know, they're going to be high up there, but
their only competition right now is the Patriots in that division. The Jets are a disgrace.
You look at like the AFC West, they're going to beat each other up. That's what,
right?
But you look at the West, I mean, jeez.
The NFC is pretty weak. Is it safe to say it's weak on the weaker side compared to the AFC?
Yeah.
Yeah. And all the stars this year that left the conference, they all went AFC basically. So a lot of, I think it's a wide open year, and I hate to say it, that the Eagles look like they could be a contender in there.
Oh, don't say it.
Could the Rams find juice another year? I mean, you know, Drew Stafford's not 100%. Now Aaron Donald had an incident. He might be suspended.
I think the Stafford injury thing is a concern because, you know, they'll probably have to baby that all year long with the arm, and that's not a great thing. And you know, it's tough to repeat because people, you know, there's a lot of stuff that goes your way when you're a champion. You know, a lot of smoke gets blown up your butt and you start thinking a lot of stuff, and you start, only the really special guys like the Bradys and stuff are able to focus in on the little things that you need to win another one and another one, another one. So it'll be tough for the Rams, but I don't rule that coach out though. That's another one. You can't.
He's
rule
a good coach.
Out. Yeah.
You know, I if you look at it, I think Seattle losing Russell Wilson.
They're going to be bad.
They're going to be bad. I don't trust Arizona.
Oh, yeah, do we want to talk problem. About
– yeah. I mean, talk San about Francisco just re-signs Garoppolo. Is that going to cause
– it could cause problems, although they say Trey Lance is excited about it, but that's still going
to – yeah. And then you go to the North. I mean, Chicago's – I don't see it. Detroit, no. I don't see Minnesota.
Nope.
I mean, Green Bay lost a lot.
Yep.
So I don't know if they're as potent as they were. When you go to the South, I don't think Carolina. I don't think Atlanta.
Nope.
What about the Titans?
Tampa Bay now has all these question marks. I mean, the NFC isn't looking half bad anymore.
No, it's the NFC is looking winnable, I guess, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, the AFC, I mean, you got to throw Denver up a little bit, you know, with new coaches and Russell Wilson going there, that's a huge jump for them.
The Chargers.
Chargers are good.
Even the Raiders, they have talent.
Yep.
Even though Kansas City, the West have four really good teams.
And you Ben mentioned the Titans. They're going to be good. It's a
the Bengals. You know,
it's the AFC. Is the favorite to win. In my opinion,
I agree.
And I feel like we've said that every year we've done this, whether it's the draft expert or when Coach Weber comes on. I feel like we say every year, oh, yeah, it's probably just going to be an AFC team versus whatever team doesn't fall in the NFC. Maybe the Packers. I think the Packers may be in the NFC. Like, I can't.
That quarterback, nah.
Not Rodgers?
Nah, I mean. They had Sam Darnold, but he's hurt. And now you have, what's his face?
Mayfield.
Mayfield.
He was saying the Packers, not the Panthers.
Yeah. I think the Panthers are – I think the Giants are going to beat the Panthers, and they'll be 1-1.
How about Miami? What are your thoughts on Miami?
I think it's another quarterback.
I think they're going to be that was the most interesting coach hire of the offseason for me.
What do you guys think about Brian Flores getting fired from Miami anyway? I know that's months ago now, but we just didn't talk about it at the time because we just didn't have an NFL podcast for a while. And the whole Dolphins situation.
I mean, I only saw what I saw like on TV with it. Just seemed like it's like a fishy situation.
Yeah. It's one that it's really hard to comment on because of the subject matter, and I don't know what happened there. And I don't know if we ever will know what happened there.
We're not.
Good pickup by the Steelers. You know, the Steelers could be, you know, without Big Ben, they'll be in for an interesting thing. And how long?
Who's their quarterback this year?
They got a lot of picket.
Well, yeah, Mitch Trubisky is the is the guy to picket.
They're good. I didn't see who they cut, but they had Pickett, Trubisky, Dobbs, and
that guy from Washington too. What was
the other guy that they drafted like in the third or fourth round? A couple of years, Mason Rudolph.
Yep.
They have, so one of those guys is going to be gone. It's going to get picked up by somebody. There's your veteran.
Pickett comes from good football genes. His dad was a Shippensburg player.
So, I think that covers everything. What about college football? I know people like when we talk about that. Penn State opens up the season Thursday night. Yeah, I had to. They should win, right? Like everyone on the campus says they're going to win. even during my interview today, they said Penn State's going to win, right? And I said, yeah. And they said, all right, you're off to a good start. And I said, oh, good.
Penn State will be fine until Ohio State comes in, and then it's a whooping time.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I got to be careful if I get the job, what I say about Penn State. I got to toe the company line.
Well, you have a 20 – what's Penn State's quarterback, a 10th-year senior?
I don't know. He's the – everyone loves Clifford on the campus. Like, I don't know. I mean, I know Nick Dawkins is – I was in the car the other day, and Nick Dawkins is signing autographs at a mall somewhere this Saturday.
He came in last June. He was in my room. Oh, my God. I mean, he was always big, but oh, my God. He was huge.
And then we'll see how big he looks on the field.
Yeah.
Just the scary size of these guys is just unbelievable because Nick is a humongous human being.
And he's an average size offensive line.
Yeah.
Well, his father was a basketball. He had genes in his DNA to be a.
Oh big yeah, his dad was a center.
Yeah. But Penn State will be good. We'll get off to like a 5-0 start, and then
they'll be their typical 8-4, 9-3. You know, something like that.
Hey, the baseball team's on the up and up. We made it in the tournament last year. That we're focused right now. Like we got the talent. So,
we're gonna be a baseball school.
Yeah, definitely. I mean,
well, you heard it. They're on the up and up. So if they take a step down, we know.
Oh yeah.
The new.
Oh God.
The new piece was.
Do they allow F-bombs in the dugout?
I mean, from what I heard about Coach Cooper, I'm not gonna say. I gotta. We'll see. I mean. I'm a very passionate guy, and they know. I mean, I came from a program the past 2 years that was complete dog crap. I mean, we lost – his favorite – Coach Galusi's favorite thing to tell me was, we got on a Zoom call to do a podcast. He said, so I saw you lost, like, a football score. And I said, yeah. It's like, and they're like, how did you give up 40 runs? I'm like, it's just a long story. I mean,
runs. Wow, that's a long day.
We scored 26, but it started hailing in the middle of the game, and like the temperature dropped, and it just started hailing. And I said, "This just sums up." I remember I looked at an assistant; he's new, and he's still there. And I said, "This sums up my time perfectly at Berks with this program." It started off like with a good temperature, like, "All right, we're gonna still be competitive." And then it just went to complete crap in like 2 minutes.
So how many times did you see deer run across the field or anything up there? Because my daughter and my son had to take summer classes up there. So I was up there this summer. I had to drop her off sometimes when we didn't have enough cars. And I'm walking across campus and there's deer walking right by me all the time.
Never.
I actually walked up to the field the one time. I had nothing to do and I was sitting up there.
Oh, God. I'm so sorry. The thing that always drove me nuts was field care there. I'm so sorry. That field is – people will get hurt. The third base, that lip, someone almost got hurt last year. You saw the field. It was bad. It's bad.
Yeah, in your tiny little dugouts.
Oh, yeah.
They remind me of like Whitehall's little dugouts.
I told Coach Weber the story. So Josh and I pull up one day to our first practice, and we weren't expecting much, but we weren't expecting that. Josh and I look at each other and we're like, is this really a Penn State school? And I'm like, well, maybe it's the same way when we go to every other school. I go to Harrisburg. Oh, their facilities are decent. I go to Abington. Okay, they're decent. And it's like, you go to Berks and it's like, oh my God, is this like a really a college field?
And isn't it funny? I remember all the time at Parkland, even though our field had some issues, I don't think the kids like truly appreciated what they had there, because they had some better facilities at Parkland than they had when they're going off to college.
I back that up.
Well, I mean, the baseball guys, you have Coach Spade, who you never take infield without it being drug. Even if there's if the JVs use it before us, he insists on doing it. I'm like, you're spoiling these guys, you know. Bad hop. We got to learn how to catch bad hops too.
If you go to Berks, you're definitely going to learn how to catch some bad hops. I could tell stories. Maybe I will one day. That place is a mess. You could have went to my office. My office, my plaque is still up there apparently for the SGA. You should have told me. I could have swiped you in.
I don't know. There's a lot to do around Berks, though. Found a Wawa up there, a Home Depot. Yeah, had to pass my time.
There's the Reading Fighting Phils.
Oh, yeah, that's close to there, too.
Yeah, I mean, I got you to a game this year. Mm-hmm. That's a nice facility.
Oh, it's a great place. I mean, it's like nostalgic. I love when you walk through the concourse down there underneath and you see all the pictures. It's a neat little place to go.
I even got you a ball from Logan O'Hoppe's batting practice. Little did I know that would be one of the last balls he'd hit at that field before getting traded.
Yep.
Did you know, Coach Weber, they're closing down Bear Stadium?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're closing it. They're closing it down. I don't know if it's a permanent closure, but it's not going to be open next year. They have to do a lot of work on that field.
Wow.
That's what I said. Coach Connick, the old coach at Berks, texted me this morning. And I was like, wow, okay.
It was, I remember when that first opened and playing on that field. And it was like the cream of the crop back then.
I thought it still was.
Yeah, well, it's just over the time, it just, you know, it's amazing that they have the support that they do to be able to shut it down and probably renovate it. There's some old fields that, like, we went to Quakertown, which used to be another one that was, and we played there at the end of high school season. I was like shocked at how bad it looked. Then they had said that the grandstands the year before were condemned. You couldn't sit in them. And so it's just like, I picture these things in my head and then you go. So I'm glad that they're going to redo it. And you know that Boyertown will redo it right if that's what their plan is. You know, our high school fields to the point where it needs to be kind of redone as well. It's just
really
over time, you know, the lines and the edges kind of wear in, and they, you know, it just, it needs to be done. The warning track's about 10 feet wide now instead of what it should be. And it's just time. It's time to shut it down as well and kind of redo it.
Mm-hmm. But
we just don't have the luxury or time to shut it down.
Yeah, I was going to say, because South Parkland's there almost until August in some cases.
And so, then we start, you know, like we'll be out there tomorrow night. We'll start for the first night, just kind of Wednesday night lights. We like to get out there while the weather's good. You know, we spend most of the spring freezing. So I'm like, why in the fall aren't we going outside when it's nice? So
I remember the first year we did that.
Yeah.
It was my senior year.
Yep.
Well, Craig Enninger died yesterday. He was a big boy.
I saw that. I saw I was going to mention that to you. I saw another Boyertown legend.
I met him briefly. He didn't really get it what I was coaching for. So we kind of just like stayed away from each other. He didn't understand. Again, Lee and him were in one of their legendary fights. And because I was a Lee guy, I apparently had to be on Lee's side. And I was like, I don't even know what's going on here. I'm just coming in to help you guys out. But no, he was a good guy. But I was shocked. He was only 69. That was,
yeah.
When Connick texted me that this morning, that one was a shocker. Because with Lee, at least, it was like, okay, he was older, even though we know how he died. That one was shocking him. It looked like he lost a lot of weight. So I didn't ask, but he could have probably been sick or something, which I know he was getting tested for near the end of the season when I was there. So, yeah, that was bad. I felt a little, you know. But I think that covers everything. I don't really know anything else
to talk about. You don't know anything else. That's what you said.
Well, I don't know anything else we could talk about. I mean, we could talk about the Reds.
We could talk about.
I'll be up there on. I'll be up there on Friday for a little bit.
Oh, you will.
Well, because my one daughter works at St. Luke's Hospital back here, and part of her contract with working for this summer, she has to put in like 18 hours every month. So she picks weekends when Penn State doesn't have a home football game. So you have to drive up there, bring her home, work Saturday and Sunday night, and have to drive her back Sunday night.
Ooh, that's a lot of drive. That's 2.5 hours. Well, for me, it's 2.5 hours.
It's about 2.5. Yeah, it is a lot of driving.
Hey, Ben, the thing you need to know is my oldest daughter started high school, and her math teacher is on this panel right here. So,
did you pull that prank that we talked about?
Yeah, he did. I saw.
Oh, he did.
Yeah. If it's the one you're talking about, I went when I came in last week. I went to answer my phone and I saw something. Then I saw something. I know there's more around, but I haven't searched them out yet. So, I have I have her in the morning, like early in the morning, like third period. So I haven't the sarcasm has started a little bit in her class, but.
Well, it's only 2 days. It's 2 days.
Listen, she even dares ask me for extra credit or anything at some time. Oh boy.
She won't do that. She came home and said that you mentioned that a relative of whoever did this prank has an automatic C.
Yeah, I think I did say that. I said to her,
hey, I said you passed already. You don't have to do anything the rest of the year.
Well, a C back at our time, I would celebrate. See, now it's the end of the world. So
my problem was Roberts. He had too big of a smile on his face. I knew he would give me away in that whole thing. If I could have just done it without him knowing, I think it would have lasted a lot longer.
It would have, because I'm like, who did this? And then eventually, maybe when she walked in the first day, the light bulb would have went on a little bit. Like, oh, okay, I'm starting to see it now.
For those of you listening, there's some Cowboys helmet stickers throughout Coach Galusi's room, and also some Giants stickers that maybe he hasn't found yet.
No, I've not found it. The problem is, when I'm not, usually if you're like the department chair, when you have a free period, it lets your room alone and you can work in it. But now I have to share it with Kyle Stinner. So really? When I'm not in there, Stinner's in there. So I run as fast as I can. So I don't have to, I haven't had time to search it out yet.
Are the Seinfeld stickers still up in your room?
Oh, of course.
The problem is
the kids don't get them anymore.
Yeah. I got it. I loved it.
They might not even know who Seinfeld is.
I know. I was upset. Like today, a kid in class, everything he's saying was wrong. So I'm like, well, if every instinct you have is wrong, just do the opposite. If you think it's true, go false. And everybody's looking at me. I'm like, yeah, you don't get it.
I like the stickers. I remember when you got those stickers. I enjoyed them.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how you couldn't know Seinfeld, because he's Jewish, a Met fan, and from New York. So you already know who Jerry Seinfeld is if you're a Mets fan to begin with. He's like,
yeah, you had Keith Hernandez.
Yes.
McDowell had a little scene on it.
Yep.
You had some of the Yankees on it.
Yep. Danny Tartable.
Yep. Ernie
Williams.
One of my favorite, Derek Jeter.
In fact, one of my favorite episodes was just on where George Costanza was giving him a hitting lesson. Just watched it the other night.
Yeah, they say, we won the World Series. And what's he say back?
Yeah,
Five games.
That's my favorite Seinfeld. It's one of my favorite Seinfeld scenes. I think the Festivus dinner, that one's my favorite. When the guy stands up and he says, "All right, guys, I got a lot of problems with you people."
Airing of the grievances.
Yeah. That one's my favorite episode. But I think obviously the Keith one, because I'm a Mets fan, and Keith does the broadcast every night.
That was brilliant, like doing the whole, the Zapruder thing with Kennedy and the spit. And that was just really, really smart. The stuff I didn't realize when I was watching Seinfeld, all the like movie type references that they have in, like scenes that were from classic movies. And you can find videos of that where they show you the real movie video of a classic movie, and then they show you the scene that they kind of played off of it in Seinfeld. It's interesting because there's another aspect.
I actually did see that once. Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Have you watched Curb Your Enthusiasm, Coach? Coach Galusi, have you watched it yet? Because I've been telling him to.
I'm going to have to start getting caught back up now. Now that things have settled down a little bit, I'm going to have to start reinvesting some time at night to do that.
I think you would really like the show. And Coach Weber, too, I don't know if you saw it. It's basically Seinfeld, but a little more edgy.
That's the Larry David one with –
Yes.
They have one of my favorite characters growing up was Super Dave Osborne, who was a character that one guy plays in that show. So, I've watched a couple episodes hoping that I would get addicted to it, and it hasn't happened yet, but.
They do a Seinfeld reunion, so I told Coach Galusi, if you're only gonna watch one episode, watch the Seinfeld reunion. It's a full, like, I think half of it's like an actual Seinfeld episode, and the other half's like planning it out. So I think that episode's really funny.
But Coach used to go from Seinfeld, then he hooked me on Impractical Jokers. Now I think Impractical Jokers has jumped the shark. They're done, I think, with Joe.
Yeah, Joe was gone last I saw it. So, I kind of like.
Yep, they're struggling. Their concepts are not near as what they used to be. So.
Yeah. No, those type of shows run their course, in my opinion. Like,
they became so popular, too. I don't know how you couldn't know that they're playing a joke when you see them.
Exactly. Like, how do you not know who they are?
Yeah.
Well, Coach Galusi, I will say this. He's very dedicated to his shows. He still
Everybody
watches.
Thinks that's all I do. And the strange thing is, it's not all I do.
You do the football.
My wife will tell you. Like, she knows, like, I get, like, 1 hour to myself. I come down in the basement for 1 hour every night, put my phone on, look up what the Eagles, Phillies are doing, and I watch something mindless like that. That's it.
Oh, I meant just, like, TV shows, like, You're still watching The Walking Dead. I think you're the only person.
I hate it.
I know you do.
I hate it, but I've invested like 11 years on this thing. So I got to watch it. I got to finish it. It is brutal. It's terrible.
I know. And it's, I don't know when they're going to end it, but for that takes dedication. I mean,
I have not watched any of The Walking Dead spinoff shows, though. What, I've refused. I won't do it.
Like Fear the Walking Dead, because I have not watched it either.
Don't watch it.
That's good. The Walking Dead was good for like the first 5 to 6 seasons, and then it just died. They should have ended it.
Once Negan and Rick was done, it was over. That was exactly. Season 6 or 7 was done.
I will give you that. I mean, so when the Eagles are on Sunday Night Football, my audience wanted me to ask you this. And The Walking Dead's on too. What do you do? Do you DVR The Walking Dead, or do you do like a flip flop?
I DVR The Walking Dead.
And do you skip through that episode a little more? Like, all right, I'm just gonna.
No, just the commercials.
Okay.
But if if it's one of those days where Eagles are having a bad night and it makes me sick, I might turn on The Walking Dead a while for like 10 minutes and then turn back to Eagles in hopes that I see the scores closer. Usually, it's not.
Hey, at least you guys are going to be competing for a championship this year.
We'll see. I'm not going there yet.
Well, and Coach Weber, I'll ask you this. If the Eagles are good, how many text messages do you think we'll get during our games about how good the Eagles are?
I usually don't. I'm so superstitious. I won't jinx it.
He won't do it until the very, very end, like in the Super Bowl. He won't jinx it because karma. He's a big karma guy, as a lot of us are.
I
think though, if his team advances and our teams don't, we could be at risk. It's time to turn the cell phone off. But you know, he does the same thing. When they stink, he says he doesn't really pay attention. I'm not emotionally involved, right? And then when they're good, he's, you know, the typical Eagles fan. And so, you know, same with the Phillies.
Listen, I know I'm so – but I'm trying to convince myself. It's part of therapy. It's therapy. I try to convince myself not to get emotionally involved. And it did work for one of the seasons. I was like kind of like out of it.
That was probably the year they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that was probably it. Maybe I should do that again. I can't though. No, there's too much of a chance they could have a winning season this year. I can't.
Come, what about the Phillies last night? I mean, this is like historic.
I'm not discussing it. Honestly, all I know is what happened was they were up 7-0. Ranger Suarez had like no hitter for 3 or 4, and they completely imploded and they lost. And last year when they went to Arizona, everything went downhill. Now they're in Arizona again. Then they're going to go face Gabe Kapler, and it's just all going to go away. Gabe Kapler's going to haunt me again. It's just
– you know, the brilliant move there by the Phillies was firing the manager right before they started playing the Nationals and the Reds for like every other series for a month and a half. Everybody says this manager is the best manager ever. And like, he beat the Nationals and the Reds. You give me my JV team, we split 2-2 with the Reds. I'm telling you.
I'd say your state championship team against the Reds right now, it could be a close. It would be close.
I know one thing. Only one team would be fundamentally sound on the field.
And that would be yours.
Yes.
Yeah, the Reds, oh boy, man.
I just feel bad.
Relay throws and stuff. Holy cow.
They said in the beginning of the year, because of the abbreviated, this is when I knew we were in trouble. I should have been emotionally detached. But in the spring training, you know how ESPN runs those games? They're like, okay, with the abbreviated spring training, David Bell decided that they're not going to work on the fundamentals because the players know those already.
Oh, God.
So they're just going to get their at-bats and get their work in, and that's it. So now then you wonder why they can't hit a cutoff man. They don't know what's going on. I don't understand that theory at all. And the worse you are, the least talented you are, the more you need those.
Yeah.
Right? You could maybe win some games in baseball if you could catch the ball, throw the ball. And so I when they said that, I was like looking around to see if anybody else heard that. So I was like, I can't believe it. Did I just hear that right? Why wouldn't you work on that? Why wouldn't you work on the fun? You got to be kidding me.
Was that – I think it was the Reds. When I watched the field, I love John Crook. He's my favorite all time. And when he's commenting, he doesn't hold anything back.
Oh, like when the Mets beat them 10-9 last weekend? That was beautiful.
Runners on base, and Realmuto hit a ball in the gap to right center. And the center fielder slowed down like he wanted to play the ball off the wall or something. He could have caught this stinking thing. He didn't even make it to the warning track. And it just, I'm like, and even Crook was like, you know, that was bad.
I've never seen, like, it's the same thing when they played the Mets. They let so many balls fall in that their outfielder should have caught. I was in shock that a major league team could be that bad fundamentally. And I watched the 2018 Mets, and they led the league in mistakes.
Well, they didn't even work on them. They made a point of not working on them. That was what they cut out with this abbreviated spring training. They're like, we're not going to work on them because all the players have played long enough. They know it. Like,
so David Bell has to get fired. That's what I take from it.
But David Bell has got no chance of winning. No chance.
Oh, I know he doesn't have a chance, but that
if they're ever good again, it'll be like what the Sixers did. You know, they'll keep the coach until they're kind of getting good, and then they'll go get another coach.
Didn't the Reds do that like in the Dusty Baker era almost?
Well, yeah, they kind of went and they finally got Dusty when they were going to be good. And then they went for it for like 2-3 years, and then they started selling people off. Their windows are small now. And the other thing that they did, which is really weird this offseason, they traded for all the shortstops. Now, colleges recruit shortstops and they move them places. It's weird, though, for professional teams. They literally traded for 4 or 5 shortstops. And they have one or two already that are ready to come up. So I don't know. I know they're good athletes, but it wouldn't hurt to get a left fielder that can hit bombs and a first baseman that can hit bombs and a catcher that can, you know, hit and throw people out. But we'll see. It is a theory that teams do. Draft shortstops and move them. We'll see what happens.
The Reds, to me, and I said, and I do had to do a research, was their owner, they is Nike. He's really rich. He's like on almost the Steve Cohen level of richness. And I'll say this about Steve Cohen. He will do whatever it takes to win. And I love that. He's like probably, I would say, the closest thing to a George Steinbrenner that we're going to ever see again. Except he's a little more reserved, which is good. But the Reds owner just doesn't spend at all.
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with TV contracts that they get. That's where the small revenue teams, even if they have a rich owner, that hurt. I mean, baseball, the Reds have really, until there's a baseball, a salary cap, they really have to be extremely good at the draft and develop thing. And they're not really good at that yet. So it's going to be a long, like even in my lifetime, they might not be great ever again, which is pretty tough to get excited about the sport, right? If you go, well, we don't have any chance. You know, look at how many teams in the NFL. Look up the stat, because I don't know. But the number of teams that go worst to first in the NFL and the divisions is ridiculously high. It's over 30% that do that. That can never happen in baseball with some of these teams. There's nothing could happen in the world that could make the Reds or the Pirates go to first place next year, outside of all the other teams dropping out of the league.
Yeah, I got to agree with you. And I do understand where Reds and Pirate fans are, because the Mets, up until 2020, when the team was sold, we knew that window was closing, like with the pitchers. We knew that window was closing the day they got called up. So yeah. I get it.
Our only hope is that Ben works his way up and gets to the Reds, and then listen to the draft expert, and I can at least teach the fundamentals to the coaches that are coaching there, and then we might have a shot.
Well, Coach Galusi texted me and said when he retires, he wants to be my wingman, pretty much on the radio.
Yeah, I'm looking towards retirement, what I can do, and there's a shot there. I think there's a chance. Ben, you know, Benny's going to be big time Ben, and. Yeah.
What you want your once a week spot?
Ben, retirement, I can do more than once a week.
Okay.
Ben, you're better off having him as your driver. He can take your place.
Yeah, why not?
I mean, hey, if I move up into coaching, I got I'm telling you, I want Coach Galusi and Coach Weber and Spade. I want you guys to come with me.
I'm not going to the Phillies.
Oh, well.
And I'm not going to the Mets. I'm not going to any cold weather areas either.
I think if Steve Cohen would sit
down.
San
Diego would be nice. I heard San Diego's beautiful. There.
So if I brought you in as like a special counsel, like you just come into work spring.
Assistant to the traveling secretary. That's what I'll do.
All right.
There's a Seinfeld reference for you. George Costanza.
I want to be one of the guys that's up in your box when they flash up and they show like this is, you know, the GM's box or the head coach's box, and just be one of those guys in the background there that's, you know, I don't need to be doing anything on the field or anything. Just
yeah.
No. Hey, if I get the Penn State job, because I am a finalist, I can say that. I was permitted to say that. Is Coach Calusi going to come to any of the games this year?
I'll come. Lori loves going to Penn State. We go to watch things at, they have events at the Bryce Jordan Center. We were actually supposed to go up last Thursday. There was a comedian there, but then we couldn't. So, we go up all the time.
I'll get you the free tickets. And Coach Berry, you're welcome too, but I know you'll be in season when I'm in season too.
I don't even know if we get to the state championship in high school, if I would go to the game if they have it at Penn State.
But we did the field.
Yeah, it's not happening.
Not. What if it's Penn State versus, I can get you, if it was a Penn State versus Ohio State game, I could get you up here.
No.
Benny, get him a list of the best places to eat there. That can warm. Now, there are a couple of sheets up there, so that's attractive. You can go there, but, you know, you have the creamery. You can go get ice cream.
I tried it the other day, and I thought it was okay. I got the death by chocolate.
And that ice cream's in Schnecksville now. You don't even have to go there for that.
Yeah, that's true. They do have it down here now.
See, I don't have to go that far.
They have this wing place up here that I'm going to try this weekend that I hear is really good. It's like Wingstop or whatever.
That's a chain, though.
I heard that it's really good. I could just see that it's $20 and there's no food
at all.
My friend did tell me that. That's like the place to go to eat.
Don't go to the one on College Ave. That one's terrible. You have to go up Atherton.
Okay.
Get to Mob. That's the go-to.
I was hoping when I interviewed, they would say, "All right, let's go meet at a restaurant." Because I haven't really eaten up here yet because I'm trying to save money. I've been cooking. And they're like, "Oh, no, come to the baseball facility." So I get to the baseball facility and the door is locked. So I'm standing out there like, I'm not that early. Like, I showed up 15 minutes early. Like, I thought that was all right. Meanwhile, I could have been ready to go an hour before. Like, but I was like, I got to just play this safe. And the person wouldn't let me in. So finally someone comes to the door and like, "All right, so what are you here for?" I said, "I'm interviewing for the student assistant job." And they're like, "Really?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I mean, here's my number." And they're like, "Really?" And I said, "Yeah, I mean..." So that was like a whole 5-minute conversation.
They probably saw your haircut and figured there's no way you're interviewing for anything with that haircut.
I have to get one, but luckily Coach Cooper said that it didn't matter. Because the assistant came in with a big beard and interviewed me. And I was like, "I'm going to get one." And they're like, because I don't like my hair getting this long anyway. It's just I got up here and I moved in. And then classes started right away. Like, everybody else gets that extra week off. Penn State starts right away. So I got to find a place. But I thought that was fascinating. I was standing up there and they're like, "Really?" And I'm like, "No, I just decided to come to the field at 8:30 in the morning just to stand out here and listen to country music." But we'll see. I'm very hopeful that I get the job. But we'll see.
Well, good luck.
Good luck.
We're rooting for you.
Oh, that's what Coach Spade said. He's the one that helped me get prepared when I told him. He's like, "All right, here's what they're going to ask." And I was like, "This is what I've been waiting for." He's like, "Here's what this guy thinks." And I'm like, I just wanted to get a feel. And Coach Spade, just for the audience knows, he was on the podcast, I think, 2 years ago. He didn't really talk that much. So if you don't remember, that's fine. He was just listening to what Coach Calusi and Coach Weber had to say. He was like, "Here's what this guy's going to say. Here's what the questions they're going to ask." I'm like, this is what I need. So I came in today and I was like, "All right, I know, I get a feel for their attitude." But they were really nice. And now I just have to wait. And waiting's the hardest part.
When did they tell you when they would let you know?
Tomorrow through Monday.
Oh.
They have to let me know by Monday because that's when the practice season starts.
Gotcha.
They have that deadline. But
so if you don't get it, are you going to go in the transfer portal?
No, I'm not going to be like Tulio who decided who all those scouts turned up for that game and good old Phil Shock shut him down. Well, I wouldn't say he shut him down. We won the game 10-11 and it was freezing that day. I remember you looking at me like we all looked at each other and we're like, we don't really want a quick game, but this one time, like, if Phil and Tulio get into, like, a good pitcher's duel, and it's, like, an hour game, because it's seven innings. Like, we wouldn't mind. It was, like, it felt like a four-hour game.
It was awful. It was awful. It was so windy, and the sun glare, nobody could catch a pop-up. It was awful. But we did win. We did win, so.
It's not as cold when you win.
It's exactly. The bus ride home's a lot more fun when you win.
Do you remember that game? I think it was against Central my sophomore year, where it started downpouring, and Central started bunting.
Oh, yeah. We're at Copley, yeah. They wanted.
And that was the only time I ever saw Coach Weber yell during a game. And, like, I'll never forget. He got in the umpire's face, and I thought he was going to get ejected. Like, and it wasn't just me. We all thought it was like, oh, Coach. And he had every right to, because – our pitcher, I don't remember who was pitching, was slipping off the mound. It was, like, dangerous.
It was Phil again. It was pouring. They were trying to purposely make out to get the game in, you know, like, to get the – make it official.
And they needed that game more than – like, we eliminated them that day when we came back, I thought.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but eventually there was a rain delay. We came back, and then we came back and won it after the rain delay. So, but Coach Galusi knows that I – that's not the first time I've almost got thrown out, so –
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it could be cameramen he yells at, umpires he yells at.
That was another rain delay with the umpire when they told him he couldn't sit with us in the dugout.
I'm just hoping if I get the job, the umpires up here are better than the ones at Division III. They were bad. Like, they were just – umpiring's a tough job, but – oh, geez. It wasn't even the strike zone. It was, like, plays that were, like, this guy's clearly out, they would call safe, and it would be on both sides. And I remember at DeSalle's program, where Mike Jenkins went to school, they don't have a baseball program, so they all went to Abington.
Okay.
And we're shaking hands, and he goes, these umpires might be the worst I've ever seen. And I said – wow, I said, welcome to the United East. And I got on the bus.
Well, when the games are 40 to 26 and they have to make 10,000 decisions in a game, they're going to blow a couple hundred.
That game, and it's the joke, because when I was working with the pitchers, I would scream, we're one pitch away. So... and then when it got to 49, I'm like, just get a pitch so we could go home. Because the inning was like, they timed it. It almost set a world record, I think. It was almost a two-hour inning. I think it was an hour and 45 minutes. So it got to the point where it's just like, I'm just going to sit down here. We're just trying to get – we brought in a position player pitch. And we're like, just throw it down the middle, because guys were walking guys and complaining about the mound. And I was just like, we just want to get out of this to go home. At this point, like, I'm always trying to win games, but when it's 40 to 5, it's just like, okay, I'm ready.
Yeah.
There's
not much daylight to get 35 run differential to come back from. So,
yeah, exactly. And it's just,
I would have got thrown out of that game so I didn't have to watch it anymore.
See, I couldn't, because I was just trying to be on the athletic department's good side. So yeah. I think that season, obviously I should have gotten thrown out, because the athletic department didn't help throughout this whole process. But that whole season, I was on my best behavior. I didn't argue with umpires. I kept to myself. I was all business. But that one time I was looking at myself, I'm like, it's a two-game suspension, and we were going to play Harrisburg. I'm like, maybe this is the one game you get thrown out, because I knew Harrisburg was going to be a mess, and it was a mess. Those games were even worse. But, it was fun. There were some good moments. All right, I think that covers everything. I don't really know what else we could talk about.
I have to go up and do some work. We're having our kitchen remodeled, and right now everything's thrown all over the place. A little work to do.
Hey, you got to watch the Phillies soon. Well, another seven-run lead.
No, be quiet. I'm leaving.
All right. This has been an edition of the Mets News Podcast. I want to thank the draft expert for coming on. Coach Weber, thank you for coming on. See, people think that we like each other now. My audience thought I got you upset for not coming on.
Oh, they were asking. That's, I can't believe it's been 2 years, but
yeah.
Yes.
I guess 2021 you came on, but I recorded that one early because I wanted to not record during my winter break, during the Christmas. So I guess almost a year. But all right. We know I got Evan Roberts from WFAN coming on next. I'm doing that interview Thursday. That'll be out next week. That'll be a lot of fun. But until then, stay safe, and that's all I got.